Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. Philadelphia area resident Randy Garbin is a website developer by day. During off hours, he turns his artistic eye toward the dwindling number of diners in our area. Randy, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
Thanks for having me.
And certainly the architecture is one component of a diner, but let's get a working definition. What's a diner?
Well, I've always concentrated on a rather strict definition that a diner is a prefabricated structure with counter service hauled out to a remote setting. They are typically made in factories, and they were bought like automobiles by budding entrepreneurs who wanted to get into the restaurant business. And they set them up in their neighborhoods or in their towns, and they were kind of like turnkey businesses. The builders would plop them down on site. You'd hook up the utilities. They even came with the dishes. All you had to do was order the food for them, and within a couple of weeks, you were open for business.
But they weren't literally diner cars from a railroad.
No. The term diner and the design of them, the style of them, is derived from the railroad, but you could call it kind of a marketing gimmick because if you saw something that looked like a train on the side of the road, it's going to catch your eye. And back in the 20s and earlier, it was considered quite fashionable to eat on the train. If you had a meal on a train, you were riding on one of the crack trains, you know, and so it emulated the experience.
Except these diners on land, the pricing was much more moderate.
Oh, yeah. They were little palaces that were geared towards the common man. Much like the movie palaces that you used to see. I mean, you'd walk in and Joe Sixpack could feel quite special. He could get, a great big meal, home cooked for not a lot of money in a spectacular setting.
Now, our listeners of a certain age might well think that diners originated in the Philadelphia, New Jersey area,
no.
But not so.
No, the lineage of the diner building industry started in Providence, Rhode Island in 1872. A guy by the name of Walter Scott converted a horse-drawn lunch wagon into something where he could stand inside of and serve food, not unlike all the food trucks that you see on the street corners here in Philadelphia. And from there, other people saw what he was doing and decided to set up a factory to sell these things for others to set up somewhere. And the lunch wagon evolved into something bigger and bigger until finally, long story short, they became these giant stainless steel multi-section palaces that you often saw on the roadside.
Now let's talk more specifically about remaining diners in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Is the number staying constant?
When I first came to Philly in the early 90s, I think there were about 35. And in my article, I think it's now down to about 24. So we lost quite a few. And of the number remaining, some of the more beautiful ones that I found there have been renovated to look like something completely different. So the preservation factor has been seriously hurt, for lack of a better term. There's by some of the owners, a tremendous lack of appreciation for what it is that they have. Now, they do this because they think that their market is going to respond to, something that's newer and fresher. But, it's an open question. Sometimes if you just, shine the place up, give it a good cleaning and fix up what was original, your neighborhood's going to love you just as much, if not more.
Let's talk about a couple that are fairly proximate to our studio here, Silk City on Spring Garden Street and the Continental on Market.
Yeah, the Silk City is, as I wrote in the article, it's a good example of diners that have adapted to new trends. It also attached itself to a nightclub, and so it's got a wide variety of income streams there. There's a liquor license. You go there at 12 at night, and you're going to see tons and tons of hipsters in there, and it's a vibrant, crazy place. But I've also been there at lunchtime, and it's got a great atmosphere, and the food was fantastic.
And now tell us about your impressions of the Continental.
Well, I went to the Continental before the changeover, and it was an okay place. It was in very original condition in the early 90s, but I have to say that Stephen Starr people, I think that they did a fantastic job of, in a way, reimagining the interior of that place. Because despite its mid-century modern look on the exterior, inside it used to be very colonial, if you can imagine. And so I think that his designers have properly reimagined what that diner should look like. And it's popular. People are going into it. And if this is one way that people appreciate diners, then all the better.
I'm looking across at my producer. He's in his 20s. Is it your sense that our younger listeners will become enthralled by diners, or do you have to be of a certain age to understand the experience more fully?
You know, I was never really pessimistic about this kind of thing, but I tend to think that, you know, the younger generations are probably going to start leaving diners behind because too many owners are not kind of keeping up with the latest food trends. In the larger diners, the 200-seat ones, you still see the giant menus that, you know, supposedly specialize in everything ever made, and they're very, very heavy on meat and potatoes. But I think that if you're in your young, you know, in your early 20s or so, you know, you're looking for healthier items. You're looking for a place that's even associated with healthier foods. And the other problem is that if you're older, if you're in your 60s, your doctor is telling you not to eat that food. So they're going to kind of get squeezed from both ends. And unless there is a major wholesale changes in attitudes in the industry, you know, it doesn't look good. Let's just put it that way.
Is food merely a component for you in the gestalt experience of
it really
diner?
Is. I you know, in my article, I say that, look, I give especially vintage diners, I give them a lot of slack because I know how hard it is. When I go into a new place, there's certain things that I'll order. And I am particular about a few things. I think that a good diner should always serve really good coffee. And for breakfast, they should serve really good home fries. If you can't do those two things, then maybe you're in the wrong business. But most of all, I go in just to get a sense of the atmosphere. And if I'm in a new place, I can't think of a better way to introduce yourself to the neighborhood than to walk into a great local diner.
Randy, thanks so much for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
It's been great. Thanks, Dave.
Jenkintown resident Randy Garbin is a website designer by day and aficionado of diners always. You're listening to NewsWorks Tonight.